We're talking with the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, J.D. Alexander, of course, from the state of Nebraska. J.D., first of all, let's talk a little bit about conditions in your part of the world. Last year, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, southern Kansas, we were the epicenter. This year, it's moved north and east, it looks like, a little bit.
It certainly has. It's something that I've never seen in my lifetime. You know, we've seen tremendous crops and conditions in the past several years, and lo and behold, this year it is totally turned upside down. We've got silage that is being cut a month early. The crop just is not performing very well at all.
When we think about the ramifications back to the cattle business, what are you seeing at this point with your neighbors, with folks in Nebraska, but some of the other states that you've had a chance to look at?
You know, the movement of cattle went in the last several years from the south to the north right into the heart of America, because that was where the good pastures and the good crops were. Ironically, we thought if the herd was to expand, it would be in the middle of America, and that's where it would start. And now the drought has moved right up there, so really, as far as expansion goes, we're not going to see that probably for several years now. The market will dictate that. But it really is pretty sad to see that right in the area they thought that we'd be doing better with expansion, increasing our herd, and now the middle of the drought. So we're going to be in this thing for a little while.
Well, you're not an economist, but yet, as a cattle producer, you've been in it all your life. Yeah. Does it worry you that we've gotten to this level of the cow herd?
It does. You know, supply and demand, and the real concerning thing is I don't see any way around that eventually there's going to be a higher-priced beef out there to our consumer. Our numbers are down. It's a simple thing. I'm in the feedlot business. When you've got reduced acreage of corn, higher priced corn, I don't care why the reason the corn is high, but the higher priced corn, the higher price cost of gains it is to get your cattle to the finishing position. So coupled with the shortage on the cattle, the feeder cattle, they're being paid up for that. The cost of gain, I just think it's going to be kind of a snowball here for several years till we get this straightened out.
Let's talk a little bit about where we are in the business. What, with these type of hot, dry conditions, I know that took a toll on our Southern Plains folks this last year. This type of weather definitely hurts the attitude, I'm sure, that you've seen around the country.
We're at this mid-year meeting, which I always look forward to every year. You know, this is kind of the halftime of our year. We started ahead and had a great convention in Nashville, and this is kind of the interim, and now we're getting ready for our convention in Tampa. The topic up and down the hallways is the weather, and it's just what's interesting to me is I really can't find hardly any area in the United States that they say we've had perfect conditions. If anything, it's just opposite. We're dry kind of all over, and unfortunately, it's in the heart of the cattle country. You know, our ranchers are having to move their herds to different areas because the pastures are burning up, don't have the grass, nor the water. Then you go into the middle of the Corn Belt. We've seen areas that may be pretty small that are doing all right. But in general, the crop is going to be a challenge. So we are in an interesting time. We've been through it before. I do enjoy visiting with, I call them our veterans that have been around this longer than I have. And a lot of them are comparing it to 55 and 56. And if you go further back, down into the 36. So, you know, this is something that is very concerning. The thing I think we'll also have to realize is, what if this turns into 2 years in a row? Right now, you know, we're seeing this, that we're in the first year, but doesn't mean it's over yet.
Obviously, one of the fallouts that we've seen, corn prices going up, which is a major input cost for cattle producers. At the same time, just especially what June, early July, cattle prices just falling very, very hard, and that's got to be a concern.
It is. You know, the prices we were maintaining quite well, and they've dropped. The thing that you've seen is the feeder cattle have dropped very hard, mainly because the increased cost of gains that the feedlots are going to have to be paying with the higher priced corn. So it's a direct correlation. We've seen good markets for the past couple years. We're going to be in a down cycle now, and you know, it's just the very cyclical and pretty volatile industry, which we've always known. You know, we call it the roller coaster or whatever. So the challenge is going to be we are going to reduce our numbers, so eventually that will turn around. I mean, when you've got tight numbers, you're going to probably eventually see increase in prices. But it's certainly been a drop, $20 or more in feeder cattle. The fat market has dropped as well. So this is a hiccup here that it really is not going to be very comfortable for the near future.
Of course, I know that one of your operations, obviously, you're in the feedlot end of the business, among other things, but the losses, the red ink has been rather dramatic. Are we looking at some significant restructuring of feedlots as we know them?
You know, I'm not sure about restructuring. We are seeing significant losses. That's a result of your increased costs of gain and so on, and the market lowering. You know, I think what we're going to see is actually just reduction in numbers. You know, when you look at your own numbers, you're going to see that, first off, you've got to have feedstuffs to feed in the feeding industry. And it's been a challenge, literally, to find corn. The people that have it, if they have any left, they're worried about this next year's crop. If they've got commitments to various things that they pre-sold and they don't have a crop, they're going to have to take some of their storage and deliver it. So you've got a combination of people uncertain what they're going to grow, and also you've got prices that are skyrocketing. So it puts a lot of people in a little tough situation. You know, they've got to make a decision what they're going to do. Also, a lot of the stocks are depleted. You know, we're coming into the year with the lowest, I think, corn stocks that we've had for many, many years. So low incoming stocks to the year, low production, it looks like it's going to be a challenge. We're already seeing record prices corn. And once we get into the field, I think we're going to see even more, depending on what they do find when they actually get the combines in the field as far as yield goes.
One of the things with your position goes the opportunity to in a lot of cases be a spokesman for the cattle industry on various issues, and obviously we've got activist groups that do not like what we do very much at all and would like to see the modern beef cattle industry go away along with other aspects of livestock. I know this is something that you talk about a great deal and you try to plan and you try to be prepared when something like LFTB comes up, pink slime comes up. How do you basically get your arms around that? We obviously did not do a really good job on that particular issue, but yet how do we make sure that we're able to get our message across successfully to consumers?
You know, we call that issues management. You hit it on the head. Lean, finely textured beef was very early in the year. And then it was followed up shortly after that with BSE. The lean, finely textured beef, I think if you go back and look at that, what really is becoming more and more of age is the social media. And messages can spread fast and furious, and it doesn't always have to be true, what they're sending. So I think what we're dealing with here is we've got an industry that we've been around for a long time. We utilize different processes, different methods. Lean, finely textured beef had been around for over 15 years, and it utilizes the material, and it really supplied a lot of people with a lot of product and made it much more efficient and a very safe product. The unfortunate thing is it came up with a name that some disgruntled employee had, and it just wasn't socially acceptable. And I think really what we're looking at anymore is we're going to have to utilize science, information, get our story out there. But the other side of it is you've got a social media, and at some point it's got to be socially acceptable too. And these are the things that we really are working on. You do have outside groups, like you mentioned, that really are trying to get their point across and so on, that don't probably understand our industry. I always said that, we've got a great industry, we've got a great story to tell, but we've got to get our story out there. And then it's a matter of, okay, how much information will they absorb and how much can they absorb? We're working at a lot of things in now where we actually bring people out to the ranches, the feedlots, and so on to actually show them firsthand what we're doing. And I think that's going to be the key down the road is we're a big industry with not a lot of people in it, but we've got a great story to tell. We're going to have to get that out there. And we can use the social media that sometimes is very critical of some things to our advantage as well.
Want to hear you. JD, and that's obviously fall elections. This meeting, kind of your call to action, I would think, as you go into that time frame with the industry, with your membership, what in your mind are some of the most important things that are going to probably fall out over the next couple of months as we go to the election and then to the lame duck session?
You know, an interesting process that we're going through is you hit it on the head. The lame duck session is really can be frustrating because, you know, a lot of the politicians don't really feel that they want to make a position or whatever to jeopardize a lot of things. You know, the thing I think that we've said is this is probably one of the biggest elections for our industry that we've seen in many, many years. And what it comes right down to is regulatory agencies. The comment I've been saying and wherever I go is, you know, if you've got some a political organization that cannot legislate, they try and regulate. Now, we realize our industry's got to have regulation, but it's got to be livable regulation. And there's some things that have been coming out that literally it makes you scratch your head on, well, how can this even come out and how could this even be possible to comply with? The dust regulations, some of the water regulations. The child labor law was just one that really just kind of blew our minds that they come out with. So as a result, you know, this is things that you've got to look at, and our members are astute and they're alert, and they're looking at these things. And you know, we've always taken a pretty good stance that we don't endorse or whatever, but people realize that, you know, the people that you put in the positions are going to have the ones that oversee the regulations and so on. So, everybody's alert to it, and, you know, we're just going to have to go, and either way, we'll make do. But, you know, the thing that we always are strong with, and that's why we believe in a strong NCBA and a membership organization, because we can and do influence things in Washington, D.C. You know, that's the policy side of our organization. And we've got our staffers there day in and day out, and they're on top of the situation all the time. We've got producers that can do the same thing, but, you know, we've got to be home taking care of our operations, taking care of the well-being of our animals. So this is why we really say it's important to belong to NCBA and support. We've got political action committees. We're recognized in Washington, D.C. as now probably one of the better, biggest political action committees and organizations in Washington, D.C., and we're very proud of that fact. And we're going to be there day in and day out to look out for the betterment of our cattle producers.